Howdy, howdy, and thanks for checking out episode 113 of the Eyes Free Sports podcast. This is your host, Greg Lindberg. Here on episode 113, our topic of discussion is blind sailing, specifically the Twin Cities Blind Sailing Organization out of the Minneapolis, Minnesota area. And so we have the founder of this organization joining us here on the podcast, and I think you'll really enjoy her story as well as her attitude and goals for the future of blind sailing, not only in Minnesota, but nationally around the United States and internationally as well. So let's hop onto the sailboat and get sailing off into the sun, not the sunset, for episode 113 of the Eyes Free Sports podcast. Okay, so on this episode of Eyes Free Sports, I would like to welcome Katie Boyd. And Katie is the founder of Twin Cities Blind Sailing in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area, and a longtime member of the sailing community. Katie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Super excited to chat with you. I know before we started here, I had mentioned we have not discussed sailing, unfortunately, as much as I wish I would have on this podcast, on the series that I've had now for several years. I'm so really excited to get into this here with you. So why don't we just start the episode here with your background as far as where you're originally from in your early years, Katie?
Well, I'm originally from Houston, Texas. I've lived in Colorado, California, Minnesota, Massachusetts, then back to Minnesota. So, yeah.
Wow. Had to come back, right?
Yep.
Nice. And then so as far as your visual impairment, talk to me about that and your vision loss journey.
I was diagnosed when I was 10 years old with RP. My mom likes to say that she, would find me in the closet trying to get my way out, and they couldn't figure out why. And diagnosed me with RP. And so throughout the years, I've just, slowly lost my sight. I have kind of wide tunnel vision right now, and I was declared legally blind about 13 years ago.
Gotcha.
So.
I see. So you've never been able to drive, or as far as visual activities?
I was able to drive. So I'm 43 right now. I was able to drive, and then my doctor down in Rochester, Minnesota, I went in there one day, I knew it was coming, and I just asked him, I was like, when do I need to plan to stop driving? Because I already stopped driving at night. And he said, you can't drive home. He goes, you're actually legally blind. So that was hard to imagine, other people can relate. It's hard to go from like driving and going where you want, when you want, to like, now you have to schedule to go get a gallon of milk.
Right. Yeah, the structure can definitely relate to that, having to be a lot more structured and, like you said, planning versus just on a whim, let me hop in the car and go somewhere.
Yeah, and that was the hard part, and that's why I moved from Rochester to Boston, was, my independence. I didn't feel that I was independent living in Rochester, Minnesota, because at that time, they didn't have Lyft and Uber or, programs like that. Buses only went so long, and if you wanted to take a taxi, it was like you had to call ahead and then wait an hour and then, go get your milk. Now you had to call and wait an hour. So I knew I wanted to move again, and I found Boston to be my home, and I felt independent. I could get around easy. So it was great.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, the ocean.
You're right. So then as far as your education, just talk to me about your educational background, and I assume you were mainstreamed as far as K-12 schooling?
Yep, I was. Actually bounced around. I was told I would lose my sight when I was 40. So I think, from my eyes, from my kind of thinking was, I better get everything I want done as soon as possible. So
right.
For me, I enjoy traveling and, doing fun things. Like when I live in Colorado, skiing. Okay, then I did some surfing and stuff like that. And so then when I was out in Boston, I started, going to school and to Boston Architectural College. And then I moved out here, and right now I am going to the U of M and going to finish a degree in architecture.
Oh, so, wow. Very neat.
Yep.
And then, so in terms of sports, so growing up, when you had a little more vision, did you play any kind of sports or?
Oh yeah. Oh my goodness. when my dad was alive, he was always taking me around. So I did everything from like swimming, soccer, volleyball, track, softball. Basketball was not for me. Like, I appreciate the sport, but I cannot dribble two balls at the same time for the life of me. So I was like, okay, this is the one where I'm not good at.
Right. Right. So. At least you recognize that early, right?
Yep. I'll watch it, support it, go Minnesota Lynx, but hey,
right. Timberwolves, the whole basketball arena up there. So then in terms of adaptive sports for the blind, I'm curious, what was your introduction? How did you kind of initially find out about opportunities and programs like that?
So when I moved out to Boston, I started going to the Commission for the Blind for services, like, okay, what do I need? How do I get around here? What are the services that Boston has? And so there was this guy, Inky, that was my case manager. And he told me about blind sailing, which is Boston blind sailing out there. And he's like, you should come out and try it out. And at that time, I was going to school and working full time too. And I was like, I really just don't have time. But like, how can you do this? Like, they won't let me drive a car. I slowly get things taken away from me and told I can't do things, but you're going to let me sail a boat? Like, that just seemed, almost, would I say absurd? I don't know. Like, I was just like, this isn't normal.
Right.
I was like, well, okay, if they're not going to let me drive and do these other things, but they allow this, yeah, okay, I'm going to try it, because the Boston Blind Sailing Team is a racing team, and, I enjoy competing. And so I went out there, and I remember, the first practice, and, we had like Grace ended up being one of the coaches, and I raced and sailed with her a lot, and she was just kind of getting to know my sight, stuff like that. But we went around, and at the end of the practice, they're talking all these terms, and in sailing, you might have, I might call the front sail a jib, but then like there's a couple other terms, there's many terms for one thing. And it was just like learning a completely different language. But I found out who on that team I wanted to start beating. Like, I was like, I found out, okay, you're considered the best right now. Okay, I want to win.
Right.
it was great. It was, Boston Blind Sailing is a great like organization, great people, and the coaches and volunteers been amazing. And, the person that I usually crewed for, Pauline, we would do races like, together, like the Behringer. We would go up and do like the Chicago race. And we actually ended up doing the 2022 Women's Championship in Newport, Rhode Island with, with Sarah Skills, and then another lady that she just graduated from Brown, Emily. Last name is like blowing my, it's not there right now, but
no problem.
Yeah, we sailed together, and you know, we were sailing against Olympians, and here we had like a Paralympian, Pauline, pretty much like all sight is gone. And then me, I have tunnel vision, and Emily, which she fully able-bodied, was the only person. And so, you know, we had fun. I loved competing with them and racing and going to clinics and doing things like, you know, going to St. Thomas and practicing, you know, and coming back with like, I joke with people, we go to the Performance Northview Clinic in St. Thomas, and they're like, oh, have a great vacation. I go, it's not a vacation. I come back with blisters all over my hands, and like, I can barely bend over, but it's so great.
Right. And it's worth it.
Yeah. Because you learn so much, right? And we're racing, and we're on this clinic with all able-bodied people. And it's also nice to have, you know, able-bodied people that have never been around anyone that has been blind or visually impaired, are, you know, definitely around anyone that has ever sailed, because it looks like, hey, who are these girls out here? They're blind. But it's funny, we did one race around the island out there, and someone said, oh, the blind girls are winning. I was like, yep. Eat our dust.
Right.
But yeah, no, it's fun.
Nice. So for those who might not be as familiar with blind sailing, just how it works, kind of the adaptations for the blind and visually impaired, if you just want to give kind of an overview, explanation of it.
So, right, it's kind of catered. We all have different, you know, sight. You know, some people might just see peripherally, some people just see tunnels, some people don't see at all. Like, there's all sorts of things. So we do guide training once a year, and we talk about, you know, how this is possible. And, you know, we get on the boat for the first time, and a person will feel around as a guide is describing what each function is, kind of keep your hands away from this, you know. And so you learn by feeling. And then also in sailing, you don't really need your sight. You know, you can do a lot by just the feel of the wind, you know, hearing. You can hear the boats, you can hear, and you can feel, you know, the pressure. You know, you hear the sails flapping. There's all sorts of things that you can use besides your sight. So the guides are really just kind of there to help. If you're brand new to it, you know, they're going to, you know, at least, you know, out here, you're going to learn at your pace. And then, you know, whatever speed that you need, they'll teach you. So there's different things. There's a sailor that sails backwards, you know, and that will sit down and have the wind, you know, hit them in the ears, and everyone has their own thing. So, but it is, yeah, you get to the point where you're sailing, and what we try to like say is, hey, you know, you are the eyes. You're teaching this person how to sail, but you're also giving little direction, because, right, you learn as you're, you know, adjusting like the tiller, bringing the sail in or out, you know, you're learning things. So we tell people, like, just play with it, right? Don't make drastic, you know, don't push the tiller all the way to the end and then all the way back. Do gentle movements, you know, and then you'll learn. And the guide will just say, you know, simple things like bear away 5 degrees, you know, okay, you're 10 boat lengths from where you need to start thinking about wind attack, you know, things like that.
Interesting.
We just kind of use the eyes of the guides and, you know, the feel of the wind and the hearing the sails, the water, you hear other boats. If you're on a lake, right? And if there's traffic around the lake, you can hear that. You can hear the trees on a windy day. Like, you know, there's all sorts of things.
Sure.
So the guide is kind of catered to whatever the sailor needs as far as the adaptation.
Oh, I see. So it sounds like it can definitely vary a lot based on the person's abilities. And if they have a certain technique, you know, it could differ from another blind sailor's technique, would you say?
Yeah. And it's, you know, we're lucky where we find guides, and it's the same on Boston, right? I was lucky to have, you know, like Kay and Grace, like invite me out to go sailing. And then I also sailed, you know, with Ken Legler out there. And they would just go, hey, do you want to come crew for me? And I would do that. And, you know, you learn a lot. And I appreciated every moment I was out there. So, yeah.
Right. And it also sounds like you and others have kind of eased into it. You know, they don't just necessarily throw you into the fire. It sounds like it's a process, like you said, getting a feel for the boat, just the terminology, the language, everything.
I guess, I don't know, what would you consider throw into the fire? Because I jumped right into racing, but okay. I enjoyed that. So I think that really, yeah, that definitely depends on the person. Because like what we tell people at guide training, and one of the questions like last year was, we can't have a person that has never been on the sail, like on a sailboat, to be on the helm and go off the dock. Like there's no way, right? No, you put up at the helm, you describe, right? It's all about description.
Sure.
Like, hey, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to need you to, you know, push the tiller away from you, and then I'll tell you when to bring it back. But no, why? If, you know, unless they, of course, don't feel comfortable at all. But, you know, as long as you go, hey, this can be done. You know, this is, we're not like 30 knot winds, you know, taking someone out for the first time. But right, if there's like a nice like 5-7 knots, like a person can go out and right from the beginning and be at the helm, as long as they have, you know, a great guide that can give the direction and, you know, descriptions of everything. So yep.
Right, interesting points. So it definitely sounds like someone can kind of throw themselves into the fire, or, you know, if they choose to, and like you said, if they're comfortable enough doing that and have the proper guidance, obviously.
Yeah, and there's other things like what was it with Lake Harriet Yacht Club? There's a director out there, Ted, and I was talking to him about topography of how we've also used, you know, filling boats, and so. For example, Grace and made boats, and Pauline's has topography in the North U, and, you know, just things to fill around. So you can fill the course, you can fill, you know, the land, like, okay, how far, where's the dock compared to like the other side of the lake? So we made something for, we had someone made something for the Lake Harriet. But then I've also asked if they could make it for the other lakes here. So then each sailor can have this lightweight topography of the area so they can feel around and go, this is where I'm at on the lake.
Oh, cool.
You know?
Yep. So definitely a tactile thing they can, like you said, feel and get a sense of things.
Yep.
Interesting. So as far as Twin Cities Blind Sailing, I'm curious, what was the inspiration behind starting this organization?
I knew I was coming to Minneapolis and moving back here. And originally it started out, I needed to practice and I needed to sail. Sailing is my happy place. For example, like my dad, you know, asked me years ago when I was living out in Boston, he goes, why would you pick the most expensive sport? And I told him, I feel free on the water. Like, you know, I can go where I want, when I want. Like, this is the only place I can really do this, you know?
Right.
You know, it's a great feeling. So when I moved out here, I wanted to originally practice. And I wanted to find a guide that would push me and make me a better sailor. So I can be a better crew for my, like, you know, skipper, my team, and just really grow in the sport. But then I started noticing that there really wasn't much here for the blind and visually impaired that I was finding at the time. And so I was talking already to the directors of Minneapolis Sailing Center and the Why Does It a Sailing School. And I mentioned, I was like, hey, what if I start like Twin Cities Blind Sailing out here, where, you know, we teach blind and visually impaired people how to sail. And, you know, at YZ Sailing School, we would have like the racing team. And then at Minneapolis Sailing Center, we would have the cruising. And they were on board. And yeah, it really kind of just took off by itself. And it was really easy to start. Wow. And they made it so easy, right? Like I'm lucky to have like great partners that, you know, they've helped find guides. They've been very supportive through everything. And like, even now and on, I've told them when I move here that, you know, I don't want there to be a competition between any of the clubs that we're partnered with. Like, I want us to work together and just, you know, and really bring something to the community that's lacking. And I figured, you know, if I loved it, someone else will. And hopefully they would have that feeling of feeling free on the water, just like I did. So yeah, that was the beginning of it. So,
right. That's awesome. You had so much, you know, initially support and backing, it sounds like, from the community of sailing there.
Yeah, they were great. And we had guide train at Minneapolis Sailing Center. And that's when Lake Harriet Yacht Club director came out. And he just kind of wanted to know about it and told me, hey, come out and check out Lake Harriet. And so that's our third partner now, as of this year. So it's really been great. And the community has been great, and, you know, family's been supportive and everything. So yeah. Do you want me to go into like kind of how they're all run?
Yeah. And if we just want to kind of talk about your team and you know, volunteers and programs, just kind of an overview of everything.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cause I can sometimes like also keep going on.
You're good.
So, how it's ran is the way it's laid out as of 2024. We have four programs. We're introducing the solo sailing and then the youth program and camps this year. So we'll start with like cruising. So cruising is one program. Cruising is where the BVI sailors, the blind visually impaired sailors, will come out. They will learn how to sail at their own pace. You know, when they fill out like a membership form, I get information from them if they want to do cruising. Okay, well, are your goals also to get your flag rating? Maybe you want to take out a friend sailing. So then people can have goals of like that. Or they might just want to come out and just learn how to sail and have just a relaxing day out in the water. And youth are also welcome to this. So from like 7 on up, and this is starting June 1st from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And we pair. So I'll get guides that have been through the training, and I'll pair them with. Sometimes it can be 2 to 4 BVI sailors on these boats, and they'll just go out and learn how to sail, practice. They'll do everything from rigging the boat, you know, de-rigging, they'll dock the boat, they'll, you know, they're going to take it out at the mooring, they'll be at the helm. So if, you know, if you're looking to also, you know, do everything instead of having I don't know, what would it be, like a booze cruise or something, where you just sit there with a glass of wine, put your feet back, you know? I don't know what you would call it, but yeah. So if you want to learn to sail by doing, this is the way to do it. So that'll be like every other Saturday. And then we have the racing group, which is out of Wayzata Sailing School. And that will be every Tuesday starting June 4th. So these teams, you know, they'll pick their teams and their guides, and they'll practice with them. So they'll do drills, practice races, you know, everything to go to regatta and clinics. Just talk to, you know, someone maybe a couple hours ago, and I suggested, hey, you know, I really think there should be these two regattas that are good and that we should at least go to this year, you know, which is the Judd Goldman Independence Cup in Chicago, and then the Boston Blind Open, which I think is in September. But, you know, there's all these other races like the Claggett and then Robbie Pierce and stuff like that. And we're hoping to have, you know, a regatta out here, hopefully maybe next year, the year after. And then we have the youth program, which I'm excited about, because we actually had a couple kids that came out this last season, and the mom called me and was like, I just, you know, I want my kids to go out there, experience life and be independent. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're an amazing mom. Because there's just, you know, some people that just, you know, oh, you have this disability, like, let me protect you. But it's, you know, I know what I can do, so let me tell you that I can and can't do something. So giving their children like opportunities to like try different things, I love.
Absolutely.
So we're starting that, and there's two camps. One's in June and one is in August, and that's on the website too. And then they're also welcome to come to the cruising group starting June 1st. But my goal with the youth program is to have these kids grow up alongside sighted youth to learn how to sail. And, you know, and then what that also does is, you know, the youth, the sighted youth, are seeing this. And it's not going to, they're not going to grow up and go, how is this possible? They're going to be like, hey, I used to sail with so-and-so when I was like 10 years old. Yeah, that was cool. Like, we used to race together, you know? So I want that to grow up to be normal. I want, you know, hopefully within the next, like, you know, 10 years or so, hopefully we have enough youth programs within the U.S. to like maybe have a youth regatta. So for the BVI sailors, so that would be great. And then we have solo sailing, which I told the director, I go, this might not be everyone's cup of tea. Because you get in these boats, and they're called the mini illusions. And I guess the best way to kind of describe it is, imagine being in a kayak, but just a little deeper. But you're controlling all like the two sails, like, you know, the jib, the mainsail, and then you're like at the helm too. So you're controlling everything all at once. But we introduced, I brought someone at the end of last season, Rachel, and I had a feeling, I go, I have a feeling you might really enjoy this. Mm-hmm. And so she came out, I did it, you know, probably like a week or two before. And she loved it. She got out there and she was sailing. And so you're on a boat by yourself with a guide in another boat. So she was just going on. she came back. She loved it, because it's just, there's something about like, now you're in control, right? Like, no one's telling you what to do. of course, like the guy is going to step in and be like, hey, you know, the shore is approaching in like 100 feet or something, like you should like tack, you know,
right.
But there's just something about being that, you know, alone out on the water, doing what you want and going and not having really anyone tell you what to do. It's great. So there are a couple people interested in doing that. I think just having that available is going to be great. We had one guy that is with Twin Cities Blind Sailing, and he goes, so from the schedule, it kind of looks like I can sail sometimes 4 times a week. And I said, yes. The more, the better.
Right.
And, you know, it's, you know, when we do guide training once a year, you know, this year we're doing it 2 days, May 18th and 19th. And we're doing 4 hours out at Wayzata Sailing, you know, off the water. Then we're doing it on the water on the 19th at Minneapolis Sailing Center. And, you know, this is where they learn blind etiquette. I'm having someone from State Services for the Blind also come out and, you know, teach people, ask people, you know, answer some questions, you know, stuff like this. And then I have Kay from Mountain Boston. He has guided blind sailors probably about 18 years now. So he's raced with everything. He's helped me out there.
Wow.
He's great. And, you know, and we pay close attention while and throughout the season of like pairing guides with different sailors, and maybe there's different comfort, but it's nice to see that from that first day last year where we were like, well, how do we do this? Like, how can blind people sail? And have that like question, but they want to be there and want to be very supportive, and they definitely were. It was nice to see them kind of sit back more as the season went on and said, yeah, they're completely they can do this. Like, I just sit back and barely say anything to some of these people.
Wow.
And I'm
wow.
Like, that's great, right? So it's nice to see that. And, you know, and of course, like, the sailors appreciate that because they're not constantly being told like what to do, and they're figuring things out. And yeah, so no, right. We have great groups of guides that, I mean, we wouldn't exist without the BVI sailors or the guides, you know, and the support of, you know, the partners and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Very cool. And I'm curious, as far as outreach that you've done, you know, to kind of recruit participants or, you know, market your programs, any specific, you know, organizations or schools or groups that you've reached out to?
So, State Services for the Blind, a couple people I've reached out to, Vision Loss Resources. When Blind Inc. Existed here, they had me speak. And then we actually, through, I think we're in a newsletter, through one of the state services. And then we had two schools reach out. And so we're doing a program with the youth. So we have, on one day, we have about, I think they estimate about 14 BVI, like, you know, kids coming out. Another time, it's going to be like 20. So it's great to get, like, you know, kids out there going, yeah, we can do this. And to have that opportunity available to them, like, come out. You know, we had someone reach out to me and said, hey, my kid is, you know, not only blind, but is also considered deaf. Can we do this? And I said, yes. And I talked to the director there at that club where this person would be. And I said, I'm not saying no to anyone.
Right.
If there's a way, we're going to find it. And we're going to figure out how to do it, because right, it might not be the same. And it's the same with every disability, right? You got to find a different way to adapt.
Sure.
And you know how one person might learn, another one will learn another way. So as long as, you know, they have fun and come out and enjoy it, and hopefully they feel, you know, free and independent out there.
So. Right. I absolutely love that attitude and your approach in general. Because obviously, you know, in addition to blindness, a lot of people have other disabilities, you know, multiple disabilities, including visual impairment. So to be as inclusive as possible, absolutely love your take on that.
Thanks.
I am curious, just as far as future goals, future plans with Twin Cities Blind Sailing, and maybe just your opinion in general as well on blind sailing in this country. What would you kind of like to see, you know, 5 years, 10 years down the road?
Oh, that's a deep question for me. I am very much a dreamer, and my friend out in Jersey is just like, you're an Aries. I'm like, whatever that means.
Yep.
But love it. And so I will tell you, all right. So my plan for definitely this next year, next season, is to start a New York blind sailing and then a Duluth blind sailing organization. There is in the works a national blind sailing organization that I'm on the steering committee for. So my goal within the next 10 years, I already have 27 locations that I've mapped out in a way of, okay, I think this could work, you know, in these areas, as far as like whether it's the lakes or the ocean and, you know, it being accessible. So hopefully within the next 10 years, you know, we'll have at least 27 blind sailing organizations around the US. And, you know, we'll have youth regattas going along with other blind sailing regattas. So yeah, there's a lot of things in the works. Like I said, I am a dreamer, and this is, you know, I think this is completely possible. And if we have had the luck that we've had here at, you know, Twin Cities Blind Sailing with like the directors and the clubs and stuff like that, I think it's going to be easy and it's going to be very possible. I think people are realizing that sailing isn't just for a certain niche of people, right? It can be for all sorts, no matter what your disability is or, you know, whatever. So there are a couple of blind sailing organizations that already exist in the US. And that is, you know, Boston Blind Sailing, you know, out in Boston, one where I came from. And then there's one in Florida, there's one in California, there's one in Wisconsin. So yeah, that's what I know of that's here in the US. So yeah, hopefully in the US it's going to expand, and I'm sure internationally it's going to expand too, because, you know, I know there's great teams out there that everyone respects from all over. So yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. It sounds like you've already done a ton of homework, you know, kind of on your end, and, you know, the fact you already have 27 locations kind of mapped out, and this hopefully forthcoming national organization, super, super exciting to hear all that.
Yeah, it's when I told the person that, because I was already planning on doing this with or without anyone, I was just like, you know, I'm going to do this.
Just go for it.
Somehow. But yeah, I've already been talking to people out in New York, and I've talked to someone up in Duluth already. So,
wow.
And then, you know, yeah, and you know, there's already regattas and races that have gone on, and we do have a team from the US That is going to the 2024 World Match Racing Championship over in Europe. And, you know, I've met two out of three of these. I've talked to all three of them before, but there's Barbara out of Colorado, Willie that's out of Boston, and then Walt that's out of California. So they're going to be on a team and, you know, represent the U.S. going over to Europe in June. So, yeah, we wish them well and, you know, secretly go beat the Great Britain. Go win.
Right. Oh, yeah. USA, USA, right?
Yeah. No, there's great teams all over. So, yeah, it's a great team that, like, you know, they're amazing people. So, yeah,
Very
we
cool.
wish them well.
Absolutely. And hey, I might have to do a follow-up episode on that tournament, that competition, just to, you know, get a recap and potentially interview some of them too.
Oh yeah. If you need their contact information, I can send that to you too. So
awesome. That would be amazing. Yep. Cool. So then before we put a bow on this episode, I definitely wanted to give you the chance to give out the contact info if anyone's interested in getting in touch with you and Twin Cities Blind Sailing.
Yep. Yeah, if you're interested and you're in the Twin Cities area in Minnesota, or even if you're out in New York and Duluth, you know, and that's going to come next season, reach out to me at kboyd, B-O-Y-D, at twincitiesblindsailing.org. You can also get my email address from twincitiesblindsailing.org, the website. Look up, see what you're interested in. If you have any questions on how is this done, is this possible with me, please reach out, because, you know, there is a way. So,
right.
Yeah, we just want you out on the water, have fun. You know, I secretly want someone else to race against, so we're competitive. But if you're cruising and you want to just cruise, you know, as long as you're having fun, that's the most important part. So
exactly. Yep. But I definitely sense the competitive spirit in your blood.
Just a little bit.
Hey, that's a good thing. That helps in life in general. Yep. Awesome. Well, again, we've been chatting with Katie Boyd here on Ice Free Sports. And Katie, thank you so much for your time and just everything you're doing in the blind sailing community. Absolutely love your attitude, your approach to what you're doing, being so inclusive of anyone and everyone and being so open-minded. So thank you again for everything.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. To hear more episodes of the Eyes Free Sports podcast and to subscribe, search for Eyes Free Sports on your favorite podcast platform or visit eyesfreesports.com. Be sure to follow the Eyes Free Sports podcast at facebook.com/eyesfreesports and on Twitter @eyesfreesports.